This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello! You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you're listening to Deborah Wolf. And that's me. And I want to tell you about some legal precedent-setting pet cases that came down in my province, British Columbia, Canada. It's the first in Canada to do this. And already there is interest from the United Kingdom and other places around the world trying to use this, get it into their legal system as well. So what am I talking about? Talking about divorce. And for the first time ever, there is a new law that declares that companion animals are family members, not property. So that's a big one. It used to be, well, who bought the dog? Who rescued the dog? Who paid for it? Who paid for its food or its vet bills? Okay, you're the owner. And now it's not the case. In fact, they're taking a best interests approach, which is what they do with kids, right? When there's a divorce and they, you know, it should be 50-50, but if one of the parents has been really absent or really terrible, then the kid's best interests override. And so in this case, though, instead of the supposition being that it be 50-50, it is not. The supposition is that one person is going to get custody of that pet. It's not going to be joint custody. They cannot order joint custody, in fact. So that's kind of wild that they actually took that. So if you both cared for the pet and you both paid for everything and you were equally responsible, it doesn't matter. They don't care. The only way you could allow for something like that. So right now you're happily married and you're about to go get your first puppy or your first kitten, or you just rescued one and you're thinking, oh my God, if our marriage breaks up, do I really have to lose this dog? He doesn't even like the dog. What if he gets mean and he wants the dog? Okay. So the way you prevent all this in BC anyway, is you have an agreement, a signed and witnessed agreement. I can't believe I'm saying this, but a pet custody agreement. And then that will be the order of the court, whatever's in that signed agreement. So if you don't have an agreement, the court is going to try and decide who took care of the pet more, who the pet's more bonded to. You're both going to be submitting testimonials and maybe videos and maybe pictures and maybe receipts and trying to say, no, it's my dog. No, it's my dog. No, it's my dog. And in one case, there was a battle over a chicken. So I don't know how they're going to define companion animal. I suspect that's going to be coming soon. Now, in this case, it was a dog and it was decided in the best interests of the dog. So both people wanted the dog, but the dog was awarded to one person. And the law actually breaks down all the things that should be considered, including whether one person was neglectful, absent, or abusive. So, or had a history of violence, not even necessarily to the pets. And I think that is amazing because oftentimes there's a link. If people are violent to animals, they might be violent to kids and other people. And this, it goes around, violence toward weaker parties. So any violence toward a weaker party would be considered a disqualifying factor in this custody battle, which I think is a good thing. And time put in is important. Now, this is kind of takes me back a bit. When I was in law school, I dated this guy who was a lawyer, and he lived in like a rental house, but full of students, sort of like a frat house, but mixed girls and boys and all students. And they had this dog that someone had just dumped on them. They called him the British Columbian Couch Hound. Anyway, he was a black shepherd cross, maybe with pointy ears. And some people thought he was a wolf, which later proved true. But he sort of looked like a border collie, only bigger, or like the wolf in the Little Red Riding Hood fairy tale, sort of pointy ears and shepherd shape, but black with some white markings on him. Anyway, he was being neglected there. And I came along, was dating this guy very briefly. And I right away, you know, got him flea treatment, flea spray, took him to the vet, got him vaccinated, got him dewormed, got him eating good food instead of the fact that he used to pick through their garbage because sometimes they'd forget to feed him, you know, and sometimes they'd forget to let him out or walk him. Like, it was really neglect. And I hadn't had a dog for a little while. And I was a student who couldn't have a dog where I lived. So I would go and pick him up and take him for runs in the forest trails and take him for bike rides to the beach. And anyway, me and this dog bonded. Me and the guy didn't work out. And in the end, we broke up. And the dog would escape his rental house and travel to where I lived. So in the morning, my roommate would get up, open the door and say, oh, hello, to the dog, who'd be lying down at the foot of the door. She'd let him in. And I'd have him for the day. And at the end of the day, I'd try to return him, but he wouldn't stay there. So finally, the guy got so upset, he took the dog to a friend's father who said he would take it way far away in a whole other borough, like across a bridge in a place called Surrey. And somehow or other, 3 days later, the dog showed up at my door. Well, that was the last time that the dog ever got returned. And I had to find accommodation that would allow dogs. And my landlord there was really understanding. But it just goes to show you that custody can be intense. And because he was a lawyer, at one point when he was very upset over this, even though he really didn't want the dog himself, he accused me of alienation of affection. Yeah, alienation of affection. So, I mean, this could get really intense. This could be a war of the roses over your pet. So this is what I say. Then get a prenup. Get a pet custody prenup agreement. Yeah, do it today while you're getting along. Because, man, if he gave you the pet for your birthday, it's not going to count. If you paid all the vet bills, might not count. Make sure your interests, if you want to share the pet now while you love each other, you'll probably want to share the pet after. And it will cut down on your costs later on. If indeed you do break up, you'll be able to share pet care, pet sitting, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so there's a word to the wise. I think this is coming. I think this is not going to stay just in BC. This is going to spread across Canada, and pretty soon it'll be in the UK, if not before. And then other places that love animals will start bringing this into their divorce court. And by, I'd say, a year or two from now, it'll be all over the United States and the rest of the world. So get your pet custody agreement in place now. All right. We're going to go to break and come back on Animal Party Vet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And there's been a couple of nasty things lately. Two pups were found in a box near a mailbox, near a community mailbox in a place called Shoe Swap. I know, cool name, right? Yeah. And then two more found in Salmon Arm. Okay, yeah, another cool name. And then it's an arm of a river that's full of salmon, in case you're wondering. Okay, and then a bunch more, all together, seven little pug crosses were abandoned in boxes. And so once again, I want to tell you, no matter where you live, there's going to be a shelter that will take them. There's going to be a way that doesn't endanger the animals. These pugs are okay now, but the outcome could have been worse. And maybe there were more we didn't find. I hate to think that, but it could be. They could be preyed on by predators, or they could get hit by traffic. Or in this case, several of them were flea-ridden to the point of serious critical care. Fleas can really decimate an infant animal's ability to survive by taking too much of their blood. They can make them so anemic that they literally die. It's not just a, oh, grooming, oh, we'll just brush it and clean it, give it a bath. No, sometimes fleas can be terribly dangerous. So that was the case with two of the pups. And they were dehydrated because they were dropped off in a really hot, warm place and no water in a box. That's not what you do. You take them to a shelter, you take them to a rescue, you go in and you tell them what you got, and that's what you do. All right. So I just wanted to highlight that. There were also some terrible situation of cats apprehended from a breeder who neglected a whole lot of cats, and they'll be adopted. And just, again, if you're in trouble, there's so many rescues throughout the world, and especially in North America, but throughout the world, where you can get help. If you just call and say, I need help, they'll help you. Okay, on to something a little more amusing. The other day, I saw a bear. The other day, I saw a bear. Yeah, no, but really, I did. Not just like the camp song. I was driving along on my way to do shopping, and I see this sort of dark shadow in the corner of my eye, and I stop, and I pull my car over, safe distance, and roll down the window, quite a safe distance, zoom in with my camera, and sure enough, it's a baby bear, and he's walking around the mailbox, and he's hanging out on the road. Okay, so that was my first encounter recently, and I posted it at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook. If you want to see a baby bear hanging out and then crossing the road. Why did the bear cross the road? I don't know. I can't tell you. But they do have paths. They have trails. They have patterns. So this is why I'm bringing it up today. Today is Tuesday, and Monday evening, that's yesterday, I get a call, by the way, from the girl working the kennel. By the way, there's a mama bear and her two cubs in the dog jump field. Okay. How did they get in there? Well, there's no down fence. Fences are pretty good and tall, and they keep dogs in. But there's no down fence. I guess they climbed the fences. Now, the mama might have jumped over, because she's like, you know, probably the size of a half a car or a smart car. But the babies, I guess they climbed. Or maybe they climbed over her. Hard to say, really. But any which way, we got to be bear aware, people. They're coming out of hibernation, and they're going on their trails and their paths, and we're not used to them. They're not used to us, so you got to make a lot of noise when you're traveling. If you don't like the sound of that, then bring bells with you. Put bells, string of bells on your waist or bells on your dog or something that goes ding, 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 ding as you walk is a good idea. Even change in your pocket. If you're kind of a nervous person and you rustle around anyway, nail biter type of person, put some change in your pocket, fiddle with it the whole time. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling. You can also sing songs with kids. You can clap, you can shout. You don't want to startle a bear. Now, most bears will stay away from people most of the time, but you don't want to accidentally get between them and their babies, ever. Okay, so keep your garbage clean. Keep your fruit trees clean, your berry bushes, all your livestock feed, and your livestock themselves. Your pet food, always feed your pets inside. Your compost shouldn't have meats in it or anything like that. And your garbage shouldn't go out early and be unlocked and exposed. And when you walk your dogs, hate to say it, but keep them on a leash, because a lot of these dogs who are not properly trained will bark at the bear and then run right back to you. No, that's not what we want. That is not what we want. But they don't know any better. So unless you teach them how to stay, how to stand, like different commands like that, which I've taught some of my dogs, or if you're lucky, it's instinctive. Now, I would say most Rottweilers, it's instinctive because they've been bred for years to work cattle, which include bulls, in very short areas, small areas around the paddocks and the barns. So they know how to stand their ground. They know how to keep a bull from trampling a human. They know how to keep a bear away. They know how to draw a line and say, don't cross it. That's how a Rottweiler works. But there's other dogs that don't work like that. And so if you've got a dog that doesn't work like that, you want it on a leash. Because then what it's going to do is be very close to you, making a ton of noise. And bears do not like dog noise. Most bears identify dog noise as pack noise. And no matter how small or innocent your dog might be, the bear will think, uh-oh, the pack is coming. I better get out of here. We can thank the coyotes and the wolves for that. Thank you. Thank you, wild dogs, for giving us a really, really good reputation. But if your little dog is not on a leash and it strays away, it could be in real trouble, and it could bring trouble back to you. So keep your dogs on leash, especially when the hibernation is ending and the bears are out. All right, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about cats on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, because I had a question. Yes, I had a question sent in from one of you listeners, and I want to talk about it next. So stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and I just realized I got two questions. I got a dog question, and I got a cat question to answer today. So the dog question, I love. It's all about pack position. And, you know, we'll get into that next, because that one, oh, I could do a whole show on that. Maybe someday I will. But right now, we're going to talk about the cat question. And the cat question is, why does my cat suck? Okay, now that sounds not good, right? Maybe this person doesn't love their cat enough. No, no, no. But actually, sucky cat is how this person signed. Sucky cat is actually a cat that sucks things. Lovely habit. So it will suck mostly socks. If you leave socks on the floor, or it actually has an ability to open up laundry baskets and get socks and then suck on socks. So this is a serious fetish going on here. This cat really has a desire to suck socks. Let me see. Like in the past, I've had a lot of these kind of calls and home visits from sucking cats. And it's usually fabrics. It's usually fabrics that have been worn by the people they love or sometimes the people they hate. And the people they hate thing is usually fabrics they chew through. Now, he doesn't say, he shows a picture of a very wet sock, but he doesn't say if they're ruining the sock. So I expect not. But if the socks are the enemy person, the new husband, the stepchild that visits once in a while and isn't nice to the cat, and the socks are being eaten, it's not exactly malice or vengeance. It's more anxiety, drawn to the scent and then becoming destructive from overworking it. But if the cat is drawn to you, loves you, adores you, grabs your socks, your panties, your unmentionables, whatever, your bra probably, because they got flingy ribbons and elasticy parts and bra hanging by one strap on a hook is an incredible temptation to a kitten. But anyway, it's sort of like a springy toy, but it will get shredded. But yeah, if they're just sucking on things like that and not damaging them, and they're things that, you know, then it's more, I believe, a maternal thing. And most of the time when I've gone to homes with cats that are sucky cats, like Sucky Cat Rider, they were weaned too early, taken from their parents too early. So their mom would like to nurse them for about 8 to 10 weeks. If you take them away at 5, they're probably going to be a sucky cat, almost all of them. Maybe they'll outgrow it by a year or two. Maybe not. Maybe they'll just narrow it down to something that's very, very similar to their mom and only suck that, like pillowcases or socks or something like that. So what can you do about it? Instead of free feeding, you can free feed, but smaller amounts more often, or you can actually make meals sort of fun and interactive. If the cat eats plants rather than sucking on things, then you can have plant grass, like cat grass and catnip and plants they like. You can plant a special garden for your cat with things like chives and catnip and even plain grass that they like. They like bran. There's all kinds of things that they do like. You can offer more things to do, and you can make the food more of an adventure, because I think they're trying to nurse to get food, to get comfort. So if there's an activity that brings upon food, such as, you know, the cat toy things that where you can, like the Kong, there's a cat Kong that's designed for feeding them, and you put little treats in them and then they work at it all day. It has like a furry little tail on it that they can sort of suckle on. That might be a great substitute.
Your cat will get the comfort of the suckling on this cat toy that they're supposed to bite and chew and taste. And it will have little temptation treats or something, jerky, whatever you decide, in there that they can work and work and work to get out. So that would be a really good idea. And speaking of Kong, I did a product test recently of a bunch of different toys I got. And you can probably get some of these toys used, maybe even, you know, at your local secondhand store or even on Facebook, maybe. But I did some toy testing with a couple old dogs, a couple young dogs, and one dog in particular, Peachy, a 2-year-old golden doodle, who will play with anything and chew anything and fetch anything and just juggle anything in her mouth. And she's just delighted to play, play, play. So she was the perfect little tester. And everything I tested with her was an absolute, pretty much, almost everything. I won't give away the results, but almost everything failed. But one of the things that passed every time, every product, and every dog and cat I tested was Kong. K-O-N-G, Kong. Oldie but a goodie, works for me. So if you want to see those product tests, they're pretty cute. And I did a vitamin versus cookie test with two old dogs. Both the products are designed for old dogs and supposed to be tasty. So what was better, the cookie or the vitamin? Well, tune into Deb Wolf, Pet Expert on YouTube, and you can see the results. You can also see, I'm going to be posting soon, a slideshow. And it's basically a golden doodle litter from 1 day old to 60 days old, from 1 day to 2 months. Every day, pictures taken, and you just watch them grow right before your eyes. And those dogs, they were born February 10, 2025. So they're ready to go. Half of them have been adopted and the rest are going soon. So call if you want one, 604-515-2267. Call if you want one and you're local to Vancouver, British Columbia, or somewhere you can drive to Vancouver from. Okay, so back to the cat that sucks. I think having furry toys, catnip toys that are furry, will also help, because then the cat will likely suck on those instead of your socks. You may give it an extra bonus by taking the furry toy. This is my personal suggestion. If your cat's a determined sock sucker, then place it in your shoe for a while, or place it under your sock when it's new, because it won't be gross, against your foot. So when you first offer it to the cat, it already smells like its favorite comfort thing, your foot. And so whatever it is seeking out, try and make the new toy, the substitute toy, smell like that thing that your cat, it might be your unmentionables, I know, but it's just once, just scent the new toy so they'll go for it. And let's see. I think a lot of grooming will help, and teaching the cat a few commands will help, because sometimes this is just the only thing they know. All right. So maybe I'll talk more on that in another show, because I think that's a really big, big topic. But I want to go to my other email. Now, I think I can say this word on air because we are talking about dogs and cats. But this guy writes in, my dog's a big pussy. Okay. Now, first of all, there's some cats out there who would give any dog a run for their money. So I hate it that people think that pussy is like a synonym for weakness now, especially since if you're considering other definitions of it, the act of giving birth is one of the most strong acts a person, a human, an animal, or anyone can ever accomplish. It's not an act of weakness, so please. But anyway, he says his dog's a pussy because his pit bull, and he says it's a blue-nosed pit bull, he's over 120 pounds, and he's a pussy. And he says he's really tough when it comes to dogs they haven't met yet, situations out of the house. Like he describes the dog park and other areas where the dog is very confident, bold. He's a neutered male. He's well socialized. He's good, but really, really confident in all situations, except around a few dogs that he's known his whole life. Why does he roll over for the old dog next door? Oh, okay. Now here we have something very interesting. Pack order is like a web. It's not straight in a row. It's not like there's a number one at the top and a number 10 at the bottom and everybody lines up in the middle. There's different pecking orders. There's top female, top male. There's all kinds of orders. So at that dog park, he is the biggest, toughest dog. When he's there and he knows it. Yeah, dun, 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 dun. It's never been any other way there. He walks in and everybody goes, whoa. He raises his head and he's taller than the rest. Or his girth is bigger, his neck weight is, you know, he's just a macho guy. He's like the guy working out on the beach, flexing, 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 so everyone will see. Okay, so that's him. So why does he roll over for some old dog next door? Well, probably that old dog's pretty clever and knew when this guy was a wimpy puppy or a submissive adolescent, he knew, I better make a big impression now. And he rolled him, or he dominated him, or he put his paw on his head, or he just scared him, right? So now this dog forever thinks, whoa, he's tough, better submit to him. And he'll think that the rest of his life, most likely. If it ever comes to a fight, the other dog will lose. He will not actually let the other dog hurt him. He will figure out in an instant that he was wrong, and he will win the fight. And the other dog is probably smart enough never to push it, because he gets this deference. He gets this rollover submission, and then he's, ha-ha, look at me, I'm the big dog still, and everybody gets along. And it's a practiced behavior. Your dog does it just because he's now learned that's how we greet this dog. We show him respect. We show the old man respect, and we don't have a hassle. But it's really interesting. In my Camp Good Dog pack, there's a rich bat who lives next door, and his name is Sprocket. And he's often off leash, and he's often wandering on my property, and he just does the woo 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 at me sometimes, and I have to say, go home, and he runs home. And he's the dog who bit the bear that was trespassing, big, huge bear trying to get into their stuff, and we filmed it, and there was a patch of fur missing on the back of the bear's rump. The bear's like enormous bear. That's also on my Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube channel, by the way, if you scroll back a while. Enormous bear. And there's a big patch of fur missing where the dog actually bit the bear. So this is a seriously tough, tough ridgeback dog. Why would a ridgeback be so tough? Kind of looks like a reddish lab, a little bit taller than a normal lab, a little bit squarer head, with a rigid fur that grows the wrong way down its back. That's what it looks like. Doesn't look tough. Looks fast. But it's actually bred to keep lions away from villagers in Rhodesia, Rhodesian Ridgeback. So it's a brave dog. Like I was saying earlier, some dogs don't need to be trained to chase bears away because it's in their breeding. This is one of those dogs. He didn't need to be trained. He sees a bear and he knows, just like a lion, keep it away from the people. So he was doing his job. But when he came trespassing on my house, it just so happened to be while I was cleaning out my car and vacuuming. And I often let my two oldest dogs out. I mean, they're very well trained, so I don't leash them. And they sort of wander around while I clean the car. One of them's a blue heeler. He's 15. I think he was in the house at the time. But I have a 12-year-old standard poodle. And he's like, he's got cataracts, so he's a little bit blind. And he doesn't hear so good anymore. He's more of a dancer than anything else. And recently he had hurt his foot. So he was up at the house for a while. So I was letting him out in the front instead of taking him on long walks because he had a bit of a sore foot. And so there he was outside doing a little pee. And I see the ridgeback. I did not see my poodle. I see the ridgeback. So I realize now what I interrupted was a very nice meet and greet, the first ever between my neutered 12-year-old standard poodle and the ridgeback next door, who's a pretty fierce dog. But they were having an actual good meeting, and I wish I had realized that, because instead I saw this dog that's always pestering my customers and me and my dogs, and so I hollered at it, go home. Well, as soon as my poodle heard that, he stopped prancing and being friendly, and I saw him chase the ridgeback away. Now, how is that even possible? Why is this dog that's strong enough to take on a bear or a lion gonna back down from a poodle, an old blind poodle? Why? Because somewhere along the line, he was dominated by other dogs, and he does know he's on my property, and he's probably hearing the other dogs around and knowing there could be a pack, and he realizes, you know what, if this isn't gonna be friendly, I'm gonna get out of here. I fight bears. I don't fight dogs. That's not my breeding. So lucky for Teddy. But if he comes again, I'll make sure they get a nice, peaceful introduction and we make nice with Sprocket next door, because it's well overdue. Okay, well, the show has been a wild one. And I guess I talked about cats, I talked about dogs, I talked about bears. It's been a big show. Until next time, from me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.